T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, the Sabres continue to roll here. A blanking of the Dallas Stars on Columbus Day. 4-0 is the final. As we welcome you to the press box in the Paul William Belt Sabres postgame show, I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for being with us here on a Monday. Kids' Day here at KeyBank Center. And well, the kids go home happy. Everybody goes happy that's here in a Sabres sweater or shirt or jersey or whoever. Sabre fans happy as Buffalo gets probably their easiest get-to-the-garage sort of win here today as they cruise in the third period with two more goals, and they go on to win it by a 4-0 score. Coming up here on the postgame, we'll be heading to the locker room in just a few moments. Paul Hamilton is on his way to the Sabres dressing room, so we'll get player reaction from the Sabres locker room. Buffalo will be on their way to the West Coast. Right after this game here, they will be packing up and leaving to head out to play Anaheim. That's their next opponent on Wednesday. Also, we'll hear from Sabres head coach Ralph Krueger when he makes his way to the media room. We'll take you there live for that. All the highlights, all the breakdown, all the stats, and where the Sabres are in the standings. That's all coming up here on our Paul William Belt's postgame show. And we welcome your phone calls. 803-0550 is the local number, 803-0550. Toll free, no matter where you're listening around the world, it's 1-888-552-550. Again, 888-552-550. You can send me a tweet if you're on Twitter today. Go ahead and do so at Brian WGR. It is tough to really sit here and say, are the Sabres good? Well, the record continues to prove that maybe they are. 5-0-1. They have picked up 11 out of a possible 12 points so far to start this young season. And for fans everywhere that's a fan of this team, the hesitation to really want to be all in to think if this team is good is a hesitation that I think is warranted. Of course, we don't have to go back very far. The story of last season was the 10-game win streak, the vaulting up to first place in the National Hockey League to ultimately one of the biggest collapses in the standings in team history, maybe the biggest. And I understand where people are at. I understand why maybe the hesitation to be super, super excited about this start. I mean, what other season would you sit here and say if your hockey team got off to a 5-0-1 start that people wouldn't be really, really pumped? And I think there's this, like, just kind of quiet calmness of, okay, this is good. Oh, I like these new guys. Krueger, whatever he's doing, well, this seems to be working here. Oh, boy, this power play's awesome. And it's just like this kind of this quiet buildup. But it continues more and more and more. And another example of it here today. The thing about this game that I like the most out of the many things that there are to like is that for two straight games, the Sabres came into the third period or started the third period early with a two-goal advantage. They did that again today with a 2-0 lead heading into the third. Wednesday against Montreal, they were up 4-2. They gave up two and ended up ultimately had to go to overtime before they won. Against Florida the other day on Friday night, they had a 2-0 lead early in the third after Scandella scored. They blew the two-goal lead, ultimately had to go to a shootout to win. Today, I'm sure, maybe it didn't even have to be discussed. Maybe it was discussed earlier. Maybe the players talked about it. Maybe Ralph Krueger didn't have to say anything. Or maybe it was addressed fully. But nevertheless, it was taken care of. The Sabres entered the third today with a two-goal lead again. And this time, instead of maybe it going down the same road, Buffalo pumped in two goals very quickly in the third to go up by four. That is the way to learn from it. I love what Ralph Krueger said in Florida's the win against Florida the other night, saying that we will learn from this. And it wasn't even like a, well, we're going to have to break this down and kind of figure out what goes on and hope that we can fix it. He was very direct. We will learn from this. And the fact that we can do this in a win is all the more better. But he said, we will learn from this. We will learn from this, and it won't happen again. Well, today it worked out that way. The Sabres led by two. You figure, is Dallas going to have kind of one more push to start in the third? And instead, it's Skinner coming through, Marcus Johansson coming through, A real nice feed from Saboka, by the way, on the Skinner goal. And the Sabres go up 3-0 and 4-0 and turn out the lights early on the Stars as they shut out Dallas today by a score of 4-0 to improve to 5-0-1. Buffalo remaining on top of the standings in the Eastern Conference with this win over the Atlantic Division. Carolina came into the day tops in the Eastern Conference, so I'll update you on that here on the standings here in just one moment. But, boy, Buffalo has gotten themselves in a very, very nice spot to start this year. And now the West Coast trip comes. Let's go to the locker room, get some live locker room reaction. Here's the goaltender, Carter Hutton, live with Paul Hammond.
Just close the game the way you needed to.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, obviously, especially the last couple games, we had two-goal leads and we blew it in the third. Not blew it, but gave up the lead. Probably the wrong terminology, but, you know, to come out get an early one, and then I think we just played. You know, they had some chances, but it was kind of at that point they were just flushing them out. No, it's a rock-solid game. You know, I thought early on it was a tight game, and then again, you know what, you know, they have a couple power plays, and then our power play clicks, and I think that's the difference in the game. You know, we get a power play goal, and, you know, we take it from there.
Carter, do you remember where your last shutout was?
I'm not sure. It wasn't here, though.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, against
with
Buffalo.
The Blues, against Buffalo.
Yeah, it's good, yeah. As long as we're winning, that's all that matters. You know what I mean? Honestly, it's, you know, it's a night feather in your cap, a shutout, but realistically, that was a heck of a team effort tonight, and I think going in the third, I don't know how many shots I had, 13. I probably made three or four saves. You know, the rest was, we played rock solid.
Carter, tell me about just this year. It just seems like the number of high-danger chances is so far down, what it says about the structure this team is playing with.
Yeah, it's important. You know, I think it's something that I've talked about a bit, and, you know, especially playing – you know, playing for a few different teams, and you understand the successful teams are a good structure, right? You know, the offense is going to come and go. There's going to be nights where you can't find the back of the net. It's going to be tough, and that's going to be a battle. But if you can consistently, you know, defend hard and keep pucks out of your net, you know, you're gonna have a good chance every night.
Carter, I know it's early in the season, but right now, what's the biggest difference for this team? You know, in holding a 2-goal lead and playing with it as opposed to defending it last year?
Yeah, I think we'd sit back at times, right? You know, and kind of the terminology is safe as death. You know, we sit back and. Teams are too fast, too good, especially when they press, right? So we got to stay on the offense and be aggressive. And, you know, I think tonight's a great example of that. We didn't change the way we played in the third. And, you know, they take some chances when we score two more goals.
Was it a good strategy in the first? I mean, I don't think neither goaltender had to make real big saves in the first period. It was just, you know, both teams were kind of playing well defensively, not giving up a lot. But it seemed like for the Sabres it was a good strategy to have to move into the second that way.
Yeah, you know, I honestly think, too, you're looking at two of the better puck-handling goalies in the NHL, too, like not to try to – but I move the puck pretty well. Bishop moves the puck well. And, you know, I thought early on we were getting to rims and making plays and getting pucks out of the zone. And I think it's hard for teams to sustain pressure when, you know, the goalies are moving the puck like that. And I think right now we're finding some chemistry with myself, you know, D-man just getting open, getting to the trapezoid lines and, you know, letting that first forechecker come to me and then we can get out of the zone quicker. And, you know, I think that keeps the number of shots down as well.
What is it that makes Victor's shot so dangerous, especially in power play?
Goes in lots. I don't know. And honestly, he's got like a – he uses like a whippy stick, and that's like the modern – these younger guys have these whippy sticks, and it's really hard to pick up the release. And the puck flight isn't like a flat. It kind of like floats a bit. It almost is like a riser, and it's hard to save in practice. So I can't imagine when he's bombing them on the power play and there's traffic and stuff. So he's, you know, he's a pure goal scorer, that's for sure.
Thank you, Carter. Carter Hutton on the post-game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you. Sabres getting it done. There's Carter Hutton, named the number one star of this hockey game tonight. He faced 25 shots. And in the third period, Buffalo scored twice. They only had three shots total. Two of them went in. Dallas had their period high total of the game in the third period when they scored 12. I'm sorry, when they had 12 shots, ultimately outshooting the Sabres 12-3 in period number three. They outshoot the Sabres in the game 25-22, but maybe part of that low shot total is doing what they needed to do to keep that lead. And I mean, obviously, when your first two shots in the period go in and you increase your lead from 2-0 to 4-0, it makes it much easier to play here down the stretch as Buffalo is able to go on and beat the Stars. So Hutton, a nice performance. The Sabres will open up the West Coast trip with back-to-back games, so I'm sure we'll probably see Hutton come back and play on Wednesday in Anaheim coming off of this shutout. And then I would guess, unless Hutton gets a shutout, and even if he does, I don't even know if maybe we'd see it, but probably Allmark the next night as the Sabres would play in Los Angeles. That's their next two games, Wednesday in Anaheim, Thursday in Los Angeles. Wednesday's game's at 10 p.m. Eastern. Thursday's game is at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And then Saturday they'll finish the West Coast trip in San Jose with another 10:30 start, but just I kind of like the way that schedule's set up. Not only you get to see Hutton come off of this and play again, but probably likely, I would guess, you'll see Allmark in that Kings game and a chance to get these goalies in. Jason Bottrell said on Friday on our airwaves that he looks to see both goalies play quite a bit. The schedule is very condensed, especially with the Sweden trip. The Sabres have some time off in front and behind that, and you're going to see the goalies play, and in terms of the rotation, to be quick here. So, yes, if one guy gets astronomically hot, you ride him for a little while, but I think for the foreseeable future, unless either Hutton's play drops or Allmark's play just all of a sudden is through the roof, my bet is on a five-game sort of schedule, depending upon how it plays out, I bet you Hutton would play 3 of the 5, Allmark will play 2 of the 5, and I think it'll kind of go from there. And if Allmark, again, all of a sudden kind of seems like he's giving them the better chance to win, then go ahead and flip it. Maybe you see Linus get 3 of 5 and Carter Hutton gets 2 out of 5. But I'm guessing Ralph Krueger, because he definitely likes to study all sorts of different numbers, he likes to think about the way that it gives the team the best chance to win. He's not necessarily grinded into this is exactly what the schedule must be. It's not exactly, well, we won, we lost, in terms of his goaltending calendar. Let's go back to the room, and here's another goal scorer, Victor Olofsson, now live with Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Victor, you have an NHL record now. You're the first person to ever, your first 7 goals are all on the power play. So how does it feel to have an NHL record this early in your career?
Obviously fun to have some kind of record, even if I want to get that 5-on-5 goal as well. And but it felt a lot better today, my overall game, and I'm sure it will come soon.
I was going to say, wasn't your 5-on-5 game better? You won a battle behind the net. I know that Jack was able to retrieve a puck and to get an assist 5-on-5 too, be digging over on the side, so it seemed like it was better.
Yeah, I think we played better as a line tonight. We won more pucks, like you said, in the offensive zone, and created more offensive time, which we have been struggling a little bit with here in the past games. But I think we played like the team, really, really good game today.
Do you do anything different against a big goaltender like Bishop, or you just let it fly?
No, I'm just trying to keep it. I'm not trying to think of anything different, just firing it quick and likely winning.
From a team standpoint, what was the big difference tonight, being able to build on the lead?
I think we just kept on playing tonight. We didn't stop and we didn't fall back at all, and played a simple game, but it was really hard for Dallas to create anything, and we just played a really solid game.
Thanks, Victor. Victor Olofsson in the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Victor Olofsson there. Yeah, here's the record that Paul asked him about. Olofsson has 7 career goals so far, 5 of them this year, 2 last year. They're all on the power play. That is an NHL record. The first 7 goals of someone's career for them to all come on the man advantage. Yes, power play specialist, yes. Does Olofsson want to be known as that? He wants to be known as an all-around great player. And that's what he was kind of talking about there with the 5-on-5 seemed to me get better. Well, the 5-on-5 pass to set up Reinhardt to put Buffalo up 2-0 was a great backhand feed as he was kind of on the circle wall area halfway through in the Dallas zone. And then Reinhardt kind of slowly was coming in down in the middle, and it was just a beautiful pass right on the stick of Reinhardt, and he didn't have to waste much time at all to get his 3rd of the year. And that gave Buffalo a nice cushion going into the 3rd period. With that 2-goal advantage, and then, of course, we all know it, they went on to score 2 more with Skinner and Johansson to win it by a 4-0 score. We still are expecting more here from the locker room, but all of our blue and gold locker reports brought to you and delivered by Speed Global Services. Around the corner or around the world, Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. Final shot totals here today. In the 3rd, Dallas outshoots Buffalo 12-3. Stars up in this category at the end of the game, 25-22. But again, the 3rd, I think once the Sabres got those first 2 goals, which, by the way, came on their first 2 shots, I think it was kind of let's finish this off here for Carter Hutton to get his shutout, and obviously Buffalo did a nice job of that. Power plays. Sabres power play continuing to do well. They are 50% today, 1 of 2. The Stars, 0 of 2. So Buffalo's penalty kill getting it done as well. Carter Hutton picks up a win, 25 shots, 25 saves. Ben Bishop, the first regulation loss in his career against the Sabres. Coming in, Bishop was 12-0-1 all time against the Sabres. This is the first time he's ever lost in regulation to this Buffalo franchise. Pretty impressive, regardless of what the result of today was for Bishop coming in against the Sabres in his career. Your three stars are all home team guys. We got Reinhardt with a goal, star number three. Victor Olofsson, a goal and an assist, star number two. And Carter Hutton, star number one with the shutout. And we'll make Carter Hutton the high-impact player of the game today, brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance today here at KeyBank Center was 16,595. And the Sabres will next play out west. Anaheim Wednesday at 10. Los Angeles Thursday at 10:30. San Jose Saturday at 10:30. All those games you'll hear live right here on the Buffalo Sabres radio network. All right, so what does the win mean in terms of the standings? 5-0-1, the only team in the Eastern Conference without a regulation loss. Edmonton is a perfect 5-0-0. Colorado 4-0-0. The Avalanche are playing right now in Washington and have scored four early. They're up 4-0 in D.C. against the Caps. But the Sabres have 11 points. Right now, that is the most in the NHL. Not only does it lead the Atlantic, would be more than Carolina's 10 in the Metro, more than Colorado's 8 in the Central, and more than Edmonton's 10 in the Pacific. The Sabres have played 6. There are some that have just played 5 or 4. There's even a couple teams that have even played 3. But you've got some teams like Winnipeg and Dallas today that have now played 7 games. So, as we know, of course, still small sample sizes here, but the Sabres right now not only lead the NHL in points, they are number one in the NHL in goals for with 25. They are number one in the NHL in goal differential with plus 12. So more continuing good stats here. Again, early, and the hesitation I know from last year is to, do you want to get sucked in and start making statements about what this team is and what they're not? But it's hard not to do it here as each game the numbers maybe start to make more and more sense. Boston did win in their game today. They beat Anaheim, who, ironically enough, Buffalo's next opponent. The Bruins got 4 goals from Pastrnak. They won 4-2 against the Ducks. So Boston won to go to 5-1-0, but still a point behind the Sabres. The Atlantic right now has the Sabres with 11 points, the Bruins with 10, Toronto with 7. The early surprise in the Atlantic, maybe others are saying it's Buffalo. It might be, but Tampa right now is in 7th out of 8th in the Atlantic. 2-2-1, just 5 points. So not the best of starts for the Lightning. Again, very early, but so far that is kind of, I would say, the story in this Atlantic division. Carolina, remember last year, made the Eastern Finals. They've kind of left up where they've left off with their 5-1-0 record and 10 points so far. They also are doing a nice job. They are tied now for 2nd. In terms of goals for in the league with 24 behind Buffalo's 25. The Sabres also, by the way, are tied with Pittsburgh, who has 25 as well through the same number of games. But the goal differential is tops for Buffalo with a plus 12. So pretty impressive there so far. The Ducks today, who Buffalo plays next, they fell in Boston. The travel schedule for both Anaheim and Buffalo will essentially be the same. The Ducks played in Boston today. They had a 1 o'clock game. As we said, they lost 4-2, and they left to go home to Anaheim this afternoon. The Sabres today, after they get themselves cleaned up here at the KeyBank Center, will head off to the airport, and they'll head off to Anaheim. So get themselves adjusted to West Coast time, probably getting in somewhere later tonight, and they'll have a full day then tomorrow to kind of get themselves ready to play before they have to play at 10 o'clock on Wednesday against the Ducks. Anaheim so far this year 4-2, of 8 points right now, tied with Vegas, 2 points back of Edmonton, who has definitely been the surprise out in the Pacific so far with their perfect start to the season. Then the Sabres will play the Kings, who are 2-3, and then the Sharks, who are 2-4. San Jose got off to a really bad start. They had lost, I believe, their first 4 games, and now came back with 2 wins. Okay, back to the room. Here's another Buffalo goal scorer, Marcus Johansson, now live with Paul.
Marcus, was that the most complete game you think the team's played all year? And I know you've played some good ones, but whether it's defensive zone, offensive zone, neutral zone, hitting, was that maybe your most complete game as a team?
Yeah, I think we played good for 60 minutes, and I think especially we didn't let up once we had the lead. We kept going and we kept playing the right way. Didn't really force things, I think maybe as we've done a little bit in previous games. So we made it hard for them, and you know, that was 60 good minutes.
How key was the first period where really there weren't, you didn't give up any chances? You didn't get a whole lot, but you didn't give up many. Does that kind of fuel you getting into the second, saying, okay, now we can start moving into the offensive zone?
Yeah, definitely. I think you got to take care of your own end first, and we did that. I mean, Hutz played unbelievable, but we didn't give up too many chances either, and it was good.
Talk about the read that you had on your goal, just kind of backing up a little while. Did you just see the opening there?
We talked about that face-off play before, and it's fun to see something like that being executed. So I think it was good for our line to get those two goals. We didn't have a very good game offensively. We kind of need to try and get a little bit more offensive zone time at times. But I mean, we're getting there. We're working on it. We're working hard, and all of us are. We're doing everything we can. We just gotta be a little more synced at times, and try and get some more zone time, and create a little more chances that way.
What's allowed Vladimir to fit in well on your line?
I mean, it's really good for me to have him on my line too, because he's a natural centerman too, to kind of help me out at times, and then we just gotta play, right? That's I think, as I said, I think we need to do a little bit better job offensively and getting winning a little more pucks in the offensive zone and spending some more time down there. But so far we've taken care of our own end for the most part, and we just gotta keep working on the other stuff.
You talked about getting the two goal lead, then keeping it. What was different in this game?
We didn't force things. We kept playing the same way, and we kept playing smart, and we didn't really give them much. And I think that was key.
Thank you, Marcus.
Yeah, thank you.
Marcus Johansson on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Hey, Paul, thank you. As we wrap up our blue and gold locker room report from the locker room there, Sabres win it today, 4-0 over the Dallas Stars. Again, next up Wednesday night in Anaheim at 10 p.m. to open up the California trip. For all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. And for all of you on Sports Radio 550 here in Buffalo, more Paul William Belt's postgame coming up here from KeyBank Center, including Ralph Kruger's postgame comments. Sabres win it 4-0 over the Stars. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. .556 here on a Monday on Columbus Day. We welcome you back to KeyBank Center. Brian Colziel with you on the Paul William Belt's post-game show. For all of you listening on WGR, don't forget Joe DiBiase will be coming up with a nightcap, probably even a little earlier edition of the nice nightcap tonight. Once we're done with the post-game show here, we'll be off to Joe, and then he'll take you up till 9 o'clock tonight. Don't forget Monday Night Football, Detroit at Green Bay. That'll close out the week, and then the Bills bye week officially comes to an end. The Bills will be home for the Miami Dolphins coming up next Sunday, and I'm sure there'll be much more coming up from Joe on the Bills and what he learned from the NFL weekend, as well as more good stuff from the Sabres here today. It is really, really tough. I'm sitting here, you know, having Twitter conversations back and forth with people about this Sabres team, about how much people really want to get back, I guess you'd say back in, finger quotes, on this team. A 5-0-1 start is about as perfect as you could ask. And there's a new coach with Ralph Kruger, and these newcomers that have come in, Colin Miller, Marcus Johansson, I guess if you even want to say, you know, Victor Olofsson now officially with the team. He was there for a handful of games last year. This, you know, even a youngster like Henry Yokiharu has been really, really nice. And the pairing of he and Scandella has looked like a nice combination so far defensively. And Miller and Dahlin look like a pair of all-stars playing together so far this year. But there's always this, well, remember last year they won 10 in a row. They were in first place in the NHL, and then we all know what happened. And there's still a very, very, I would say, a similar bunch of players that are on this team from that roster from last year. But there are newcomers, and there is a new coach, and maybe a new mentality that this hot start will continue. I don't think anybody's expecting it to the point that they'll be 5-0-1 in every six-game clip. But maybe there just won't be the collapse that we saw last year, where the Sabres ended up obviously having one of the worst second halves in their franchise's history after being in first place at the end of November and then just falling off the face of the earth. So I want to say that just seeing this team in person and watching them and with my own eyes, that it does look better. The stats, the analytics say that the Sabres are much better than what they were last year. If you remember, you looked, if you're a numbers guy and you watched last year with this team when they went through that 10-game winning streak, there was the thought of, are they getting lucky? Because a lot of these numbers would say, well, can they keep this up? Some of the possession numbers weren't there. How many of those games did they win in overtime or shootout? It was almost all of them. And it was like, well, they're going to come back. And they did. But nobody expected them to come back as far as they did. This year, all the numbers are trending in the right direction. So a little more reason to believe, maybe. Okay, here's Coach Ralph Krueger live after the 4-0 win.
I thought the whole game was well managed, dealing with a tight game as it was and being patient and believing, you know, that we could get control of a game of this nature is important for the psychology of the group right now. And I just liked the way we managed the whole game today. It was definitely our best performance of the season, start to finish. And the third period showed a lot of maturity and learning out of the last couple of games. Puck management was very mature and extremely, extremely aggressive still defensively at the same time. So we were just really pleased with that. And we're going to continue to try and grow tomorrow.
Victor Olsson was almost more happy that he had a better 5-on-5 game than he scored the power play goal. Did you feel it was a better 5-on-5 game for him too?
Yeah, I mean, just in general, I think if you look at somebody in a rookie season dealing with the pace that we've had here right off the hop, and you know, the pressure that we're putting on ourselves right now to perform and to, you know, to maintain a certain level, he's one of many players today that I could speak about playing on both sides of the puck. I mean, everybody's working hard back and they're finding their work, and we're much more physical tonight than in the last two games. You know, Victor, of course, does his job in that line in general. They had 5-1 scoring chances, 5-on-5 playing against a couple of the top players in the world, and I think that's a real compliment to what the Eichel line's doing also defensively. Well, it's all about what's happening here is everybody pushing everybody and cheering for each other. You know, like they're a great duo. They work really hard in practice right from the get-go. They've been they've understood the concept here, and whoever's called, be ready, and we need a duo. I mean, pretty well everybody in the league now that has sustainable performances is able to bring both goalies, and we feel extremely comfortable with both. And Hutt's played a great game today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think you've asked me that before about being surprised. I'm not, because of how this group has bought in right from day one on the 13th of September. I mean, I just remember that first day, those two sessions, and the you know, the interest and the communications have been going on here. So it's not surprising me. You know, we were very disappointed with the way we managed the puck lately, and everybody wanted to change that, and you can see in their behavior that they mean it, and that's been from day one, the willingness to buy into what we're doing here and to just get up in the morning and try to improve is what we're all about, and we're just going to continue on that track tomorrow.
Vladimir had a nice assist on Jeff's goal. What's allowed him to fit in so well on that line?
Well, Sabatka just doesn't get the credit he deserves here. I mean, he's allowing Johansson and Skinner some freedom to take some risks here and there. He's an unbelievable physical presence in that line, and we're so pleased that he was rewarded with something offensively today. I'm sure that'll give him confidence for the future. But, you know, he was asked to win two big face-offs in the first period, and he went right out there and cleanly won them and took us out of our end. And, you know, he's just been an unbelievable strength in character here, showing the young guys what we need, how we need to play his game without the puck, the way he stays above the puck, the way he plays a responsible game with it, it has been a great example. But again, this is showing up in practice and carrying into the games. It's not just showing up on game days. These guys are working really, really hard. This is not luck what's happening here. Yeah, well, we don't change our game at road, on the home, at home or on the road, or what the score is. We want to maintain speed. We want to maintain puck speed. We want to maintain pressure on the opposition defensively. And maybe we didn't get the shots we could have taken in the third period, but we definitely kept forechecking, and it's just part of who we want to be. Sabres hockey should run from beginning to end, and no matter the score.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good week if you're not coming to California.
I'll go to California. That sounds like fun. Good trip out to Southern California here for Anaheim, Los Angeles, and then San Jose. Yeah, things are working. Saying about guys working a practice, they're not getting lucky, that they bought in from the start. All good signs so far from the Sabres head coach, Ralph Krueger's postgame comments brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. 4-0 Buffalo is the score. If you maybe were in work all day and get a chance to maybe follow along, let's take you through the highlights of this one. No score in the first, so we'll pick it up in the second. And Buffalo on the power play. And it's Victor Olofsson on a feed from Dahlin, and Buffalo gets on the board first.
Back to Eichel, over to Olofsson, back to Dahlin. Olofsson fires one, score! Took a long time to set it up. Zip, 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 zip. What, I think one more zip, and then Olofsson scores.
Yeah, lots of passing on that one. Dahlin and Eichel, the official assist at 6:27. 1-0 Buffalo on Olofsson's power play goal. And for Olofsson, that's set the NHL record. The first 7 goals of his career, all on the power play. No other player has ever done that. Also, that ended the shutout streak of Ben Bishop against the Sabres at 156 minutes and 3 seconds. 1-0 Sabres, late second. They add to their total. Olofsson now, a nice setup for Sam Reinhart.
Scandella to Eichel, working it in over the line. Out in front, the score! Oh, Sam Reinhart, he needed about a half a second, and he used all of it. 2-0 Buffalo.
Reinhart's third, Olofsson and Eichel assisting. 2-0 Sabres. That was the score through 40 minutes. To the third we go. Buffalo with a 2-goal lead. The last 2 outings against Montreal and Florida, they ended up blowing those leads. This one, though, it looks as though the Sabres are making an early statement. 4:20 into the third. Sobotka, a beautiful pass to set up Skinner.
They're broken up by Johansson, and the pass up on the wing now in over the line. Sobotka, he cleared it in front of the net, back, and they score! Jeff Skinner has been hanging around looking for another one. He needn't look any farther. 3-0 Buffalo.
Skinner on the board there as he gets his 4th of the year. And Sobotka, a nice setup with that pass coming down on the rush. Jokiharju getting the assist for Jokiharju. That's his first point as a Sabre. 3-0 Buffalo, and right there, there's the statement made. Not going to blow the lead here tonight. Get gave Buffalo the 3-0 lead and some real comfort here to finish it out. It's the goal of the game brought to you by Revive Spine Center. Our only goal is getting you back to you. Less than 2 minutes later, Buffalo adds to the total. There's a bullet shot from Marcus Johansson.
You only got $30 million to pay, but 17 plays. They score right off the faceoff. That one is rifled home by Johansson. He hammered it in past Bishop. It is 4-0 Buffalo.
6:02 into the third. It was all Sabres at that point. 4-0 Johansson's third. McCabe and Ristolainen in the assists. And those are your goals and your moments of the game. Brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. So the Sabres win 4-0, improved to 5-0-1 as the Sabres get some good goaltending as well from Carter Hutton. He's named the first star. He gets the shutout, making 25 saves. One more timeout here on the Paul William Belts postgame show. We'll break down some more stats, your phone calls when we come back, and a look around the NHL before we hand things off to the nightcap with Joe DiBiase. I'm Brian Colziel here at KeyBank Center. Sabres win 4-0. More coming up right after this. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Welcome back here on a Monday night to KeyBank Center. The Paul William Belts postgame show rolling on. Good one. Sabres win 4-0 over Dallas. Ben Bishop, first time he's lost in regulation to the Sabres. Coming in, he was 12-0-1. Buffalo finally breaking through. Olofsson, Reinhardt, Skinner, and Johansson, the goal scorers here. We'll update you on the NHL scoreboard coming up here in just a moment, and also a preview of Joe DiBiase's nightcap show. But let's grab a couple of calls here. Let's start things off with David here on the postgame. Hi, David. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for taking my call tonight.
Sure.
Great team effort. All phases of the game they were good in. You know, the penalty kill, the power play, and the goaltending. And I think with the goaltending, to me, you got a good problem because both these guys are playing well. And I think it's going to be fun to see how they do on this West Coast swing. You know, San Jose's a little older team. Anaheim's, you know, started off pretty good. So I'm interested to see where this team's at because it seems like, you know, everything Ralph Kruger's done, you know, it sounds like these guys are really working hard in practice and they bought into a system. And a few games in, it seems like it's paying off. So I love seeing it, man.
Thank you, David. Yeah, I'm curious as well. With each game that they keep playing well and keep winning, the curiosity factor will come in. And I'm sure that for fans that maybe are very hesitant to jump back in and invest in this team, whether it means financially with coming down to the arena or spending more evenings watching this team, I think that'll begin to grow. And I totally understand why there's some people that are saying, I'm hesitant, I'm not ready to go in back on this team, invest money or time or both because of what happened last year. I get it. But you know, with everyone coming, I'm sure more and more will jump on board. It's just, you know, it's only natural. Thanks for the call, David. Back to the phones, and Brian is with us now. Hi, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to agree with the other caller. I mean, this team has played really well. They are mashing beautifully. The only concern I might have right about now is our penalty killing. If that can hold up and turn around, then they could be a very good team and a very dangerous team if they do make it to the playoffs. And I'm not saying they will, but if they do, they would be a very tough out. And this sort of reminds me of that 96 team. If they get there, they could be a tough one.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Penalty kill today, 0-2, and 0-2 in the previous game. So far, so good. Here's the number that I'm almost even more impressed with, 2. They're not taking a lot of penalties. What does that mean? Smarter decisions, better coaching, however you want to put, you know, glue that together. I'll say it's a combination of everything. When you're in the right spot, you don't have to make up for the fact that you're out of position and reach and pull and tug and grab and hook and trip. All those things kind of go together. So when you're confident in your system, when you're in the right spot, you don't have to reach because you're already there. You don't have to hook because the guy's not in front of you. You're in the right spot. Kind of all works together. I mean, 2 penalties against in these last 2 games. So far, so good. So, yeah, I mean, they're listening to what Ralph Kruger wants them to do. Thank you for the call. Our Sabres Core Group feature now, a look at the Core Group presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Western New York, proud partner of the Buffalo Sabres. Well, the Core came through today. Jeff Skinner getting a goal. Sam Reinhart getting a goal. Victor Olofsson a goal and an assist. Dahlin setting up Olofsson for the first goal, which ends up being the game winner. Eichel a pair of assists. Ristolainen an assist. I mean, this is the same group over and over today that continues to get it done. And a pretty nice job overall on the board there. Skinner led the team in shots with 4. Reinhardt and Dahlin had 3. +2 nights for Johansson, Skinner, McCabe, Sobotka, and Scandella. All +2 in this game as Buffalo wins it 4-0. So there's your look at the core group. Before we hand things off to Joe, let's get our final check of our NHL scores around the NHL here. And it is brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. All right, so the Sabres will play Anaheim next on Wednesday. Anaheim fell in Boston today by a 4-2 score. Bruins led by David Pastrnak. He had all 4 goals in that one. Other finals, Minnesota shutting out Ottawa, 2-0 the final. Florida after being down 4-1 in New Jersey, come back to beat the Devils 6-4. Islanders beat the Blues in overtime 3-2. One game going on right now in Washington, Colorado, hammering the Caps here. Early second period, it's already 4-0. One game later tonight in Chicago, the Blackhawks host the Oilers. That is at 8:30. And our score, Sabres 4, Stars nothing. Good way to finish up the three-game homestand. 3-for-3. They're 4-0 to start the homestand so far. So our next broadcast will be on Wednesday night. I'll have pregame at 9 and a puck drop at 10 o'clock with the Sabres and the Anaheim Ducks. Hope you can be with us right here on the Sabres Radio Network. We bring Joe DiBiase back in from our Amherst studios. He's getting ready for the nightcap. Joe, you ready for Sabres After Dark the rest of the week here?
Oh, I've missed Sabres After Dark. I'm a night owl myself, so I'm right in my territory when Sabres After Dark gets going. So, yeah, I'm pumped. 10 o'clock on Wednesday. That's right. Perfect. Right up my alley. Yeah.
And they, even through this last decade of being a poor NHL team, for whatever reason, the West Coast trips have been maybe some more of the rare positive moments through the courses of some disappointing seasons.
Yeah, even last year, I think, maybe beginning of the season, their West Coast trip came pretty quickly, and then we know they were first place after a couple of months. So, there was a game in Vegas even a couple years ago, I remember, where they tied up late, and I was maybe doing one of my first games here in the station, and it was one of those West Coast games, and they tied it. I think Evander Kane maybe scores against Vegas, so there's been some recent success that I can remember the past couple years.
All right, so I'm sure you're going to talk a little bit more about it on your show here tonight with this Sabre team, but, I mean, everyone keeps saying, like, are they good? Are they good? Are they really good? Like, should we believe? And I don't know what I really want to give as my answer quite yet. But all they keep doing is playing well and winning, so I guess you just keep taking them as they come.
I think it's a pretty normal conversation to have around here because we've done it with the Bills how many times where they've had a 4-0 start in 08, then they had a 4-1 start in 2011. Like, they've had hot starts and, like, okay, can we believe in it this time? Can we believe in it this time? And the Sabres, kind of for the first time, got off to a hot start last year and it completely collapsed. So now we're left thinking, I think, kind of how we used to think about the Bills in that way, which is, are we really, truly able to believe in this? Because in the back of your head, in the back of my head, I'm watching this team. They're playing great. They look different to me. They're different players, different coach. Like, everything to me should make me think that they are, that this is real. But in the back of my head is last season. And it's not going to be able to get out of the back of my head until they really, I think, go through, I mean, I have to, at least January. Like, I think they have to be looking like this at least midway through the season before I can fully forget and start to forget that they ended up with 74 points after being first place in December last year.
Yeah. All the analytic numbers last year during that 10-game win streak saying that, I mean, I don't want to use the word lucky, but the numbers would say that.
Mm-hmm.
And how they won so many of them in overtime or in shootout, that the Sabres were due to come back to earth a little. Did we expect to hit rock bottom? No, I didn't see that coming either. But this year, if you're a number guy, it shows that this could be legit, that this could carry through. The message that I like is that whatever Ralph Kruger seems to be getting to them on whatever, like, the focus is on a nightly basis or whatever their focus is in practice, they seem to be executing that pretty well. I mean, to be able to respond, okay, what's a negative from these last two wins? Well, they blew two-goal leads. Well, tonight, what did they do? He said, we will learn from this. Well, what did they do tonight? They scored two quick ones to go up by four. So I like that there's maybe a response after something doesn't go their way. And the fact that they're able to learn maybe something from a mistake, even in a win. I mean, obviously, all the better.
And even look at individual players. Like, Sobotka plays great tonight. I mean, that pass he makes is maybe the best offensive play I've seen him make in a Sabre uniform. Like, there's not many, so there's one. And there are other players on this roster, like Larson, Girgensons. I think you mentioned this intermission. Like, these guys coming into the year, I think, were why the roster still felt a little stale. That there were still guys that I think fans wanted to see changed out that are still here. Scandella, Ristolainen, you could throw them into it too. And those guys are not only here, but they're playing pretty well. Like, pretty much all of those guys, I would say, are playing much better than they have last season. Ristolainen and Scandella, for sure. That Larson line, log line, whatever we're calling it, has been way better, I think, than they've played in their previous Sabre years. So it's not even just how the team is playing. You look at individuals that felt stale coming into the season, and they're all playing a lot better.
Absolutely. All right, Joe, what's coming up on your show?
little extension of the post-game show here. I want to take some calls on the Sabres. And, like, again, is this real? Are we supposed to be buying into this, even though it's really early on? Do a lot of Sabres in the first half, and I want to get into some football because even though the Bills did not play this past week, like, we got to start thinking about playoff race, I think, at some point here for the Bills. And the AFC just looks like an unmitigated disaster outside of who's in the playoffs right now. So I thought this past week was actually a positive for the Bills and because of who lost in the AFC.
Yeah, the Chiefs lose again at home, two in a row.
Yeah, that one was really weird.
And I'm sitting here looking at the Bills' schedule, which every week starts to look weaker and weaker. I'm sitting here saying, I mean, the Bills could legitimately end up with the second-best record in the AFC and unfortunately maybe have to play a road wildcard game.
And I don't even know if they have to be good to do that because, like you said, like you play Miami twice in Washington. I mean, you might as well consider them 7-1 right now. Denver, exactly. Yeah. So that's part of it. Like, you have two things going for you. You have the schedule going for you, and you have the conference going for you. You mentioned Kansas City might even not be perfect now. You've got the Chargers, who I thought was going to be a sure thing to make the playoffs beginning of the year. They can't even beat this FCS rookie for Pittsburgh at home.
That's right.
So, like, I don't know who I'm supposed to be afraid of to come take the Bills' playoff spot.
Yeah, I agree. And Houston seems pretty legit, but someone's got to win the AFC South. So maybe between them and Indy, there's a team. The Browns, every time maybe they look like they can be good or not. I mean,
right.
They looked again. They figured out a way to lose yesterday. So, and every Bills home game, I would go in thinking they have a chance to win, even against maybe the best opponent left on their home schedule, which is Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles game at home, which I would have started the season thinking is a loss. Now I think like they can win that game. They might be favored to win that game. So, you know, why not? I mean, other than at New England, even Dallas doesn't look that great in terms of, I mean, they just went to the Jets and laid an egg. So I feel like there's only one game that I'm going in sitting here thinking, well, they're not going to win today. And who knows? I mean, New England, that game could have been easily won. You take that block punt away, and who knows? We're maybe talking about a perfect season so far.
It's truly amazing that there's 11 games left on their schedule. And I think I have this right. There's 11 games left on their schedule, and only one team they play has a winning record. That's it. One. New England.
Baltimore.
Yes, so that's right. Yep. I missed
two
one.
Of the 11. Yep. Yeah.
But still.
It's set up nicely for him.
Yep.
Right. All right, Joe, thanks. Have a good show.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. Joe DiBiase there. He's coming up next with the nightcap. And we put a wrap here from KeyBank Center on the Paul William Belts post-game show. I want to thank our crew here, all involved. Joe, of course, helping back in our studios. Kyle Powell, Jonathan Koziel, Paul Hamilton, all here at KeyBank Center. For our game announcers, Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray, my name is Brian Koziel. Again, the final, Sabres 4, Stars nothing. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Wednesday night at 9 for the pregame with the Sabres and the Ducks from Anaheim. Right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network, the Nightcap with Joe coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.